Hello. Welcome to this week's edition of the Africa Climate Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Sophie Mbogwa. Remember, we are exploring environmental solutions, and in case you are implementing an innovation, I'm welcoming you to write to us through info@africaclimateconversations.com and tell us about it, and we will tell the world about it. But for today, let us go back to Kikuyu Town in Kenya, about 20 kilometers from Nairobi City. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, says that the world population is expected to grow to almost 10 billion by 2050. The World Economic Forum further projects that by 2050, in every 5 children born, 2 will be born in Africa. Already, the rate of urbanization in sub-Saharan Africa is unmatched compared to the rest of the world. The urban population is expected to nearly triple to 1.3 billion people by 2050. Population increase means a rising demand for food and increased pressure on natural resources such as land by which we grow food. Now, John Mwaura Kiriko, a businessman from Kikuyu Town in Kenya, is growing fish in a greenhouse and rearing black soldier fly larvae to feed his fish as a protein alternative. The technology occupies about 30 by 15 feet for each greenhouse. In this case, Mwaura has built 2 greenhouses where he is rearing about 5,500 fish and tons of larvae. Mwaura has switched from horticulture for export business he has practiced for years to farm fish and larvae. Why is he investing in this business?
Worms, two advantages. One, you can feed the fish with worms, and also you can sell the worms for animal feed, and it's also in very high demand. Fish, well, I used to even have open pond for fish in the past. Well, this farming is more modern, and it is more profitable. Maybe the cost of investments may be slightly higher, but it is more productive. And you earn more, actually, compared to the open horticulture farming. Mm-hmm. And the demand is quite high, even those days, those years back. And now it's even much higher for people to satisfy the demand for white meat. But safety also is another point, because anything can happen in open pod. People can go and fall down, like children, or animals can fall down there. So it's not very secure.
Bernard Kamau, an agribusiness expert and fisheries technician with the Ministry of Agriculture in Kiambu County, says growing the fingerlings to table-sized fish in a greenhouse has its advantages compared to open ponds, as a farmer controls the amount of food the fish feeds. Mwaura uses the raised pond technology, with his ponds constructed using timber placed on the ground and lined with dam liners. Kamau says the greenhouse farming raised pond technology is ideal for producing food for rising populations using the smallest available land. Here is Kamau explaining why the raised pond technology and its advantages.
One is about the issue of the space, the land that is being used. If you use open fish farming, because you require to do fish pond on the ground, you construct them on the ground, and mostly when you interfere with the ground, you cannot use that ground. Should you decide to negate from fish farming and to something else, to another enterprise, it will require you to use more resources again to reclaim the land back. So in this technology, we are using the upward technology, the raised pod technology, whereby you are not interfering with the ground. We normally do 1 meter, 1.2 meter on the ground. So we are achieving that upward. So we just use timber or any other available material, not necessarily timber. You can use even the offcut, and then we fix the dam liner on the water harvesting paper in layman's language. So when you put it under the greenhouse, you are trying to micromanage the environment to increase the temperatures. If you go to capture fisheries, if you go to Lake Naivasha, you go to Victoria, you go to Indian Ocean, you realize the temperatures there are very high. And these temperatures are the ones that we are trying to bring in when we put the greenhouse on the fish pond. And this will enhance faster faster growth. And again, under the greenhouse, we are not just leaving fish to grow their own. We bring in the issue of feeding to substitute. Even though we have the natural feeds in that water, we have to give them with feeds, commercial feeds, to increase the growth rate, because the farmer is in business, not just the growing fish. We want them to get the table size of about 500 gram if it is 300 gram to 500 gram if it is the trapper, within a period of about 6 months instead of years when you do them in open. And again, for the catfish, within a period of 6 to 7 months, you can achieve a weight of between 1.5 to 2 kgs, depending again on your management.
Kamau says with about 100,000 shillings, a farmer can start this farming business. But what does this fish technology require? Here is Joseph Mwangi, Maura's manager.
The advantage, they grow faster, and a farmer can control the fish growth by feeding them depending on the weight one requires within the fish maturity period. Also, one can monitor the amount of food they are feeding on for the period. The pond is 12 by 3 feet. Timber and the dam liner take up the highest cost. While constructing the dam, consulting a professional is critical to ensure the dam does not burst due to poor construction. Currently, we have 5 fish ponds. 2 ponds have tilapia, while the rest have catfish. We feed them with fish pellets. I started with 3 ponds with a total of 3,000 fish. Within 5 months, they have consumed 25 kilograms of fish pellets.
Just like humans, animals require proteins to grow. Maura is rearing the black soldier fly larvae, rich in proteins, to alternate feeding his fish with the current fish pellets. Sourced from Ikodudu, a waste-to-value company in Kenya, black soldier fly used as an alternative protein additive in animal feeds transforms waste into high-quality proteins in the larva stage. The eggs laid by the black soldier flies are grown in greenhouse conditions within 21 days after which they are harvested. The black soldier flies eat in twisting mode. Mwangi says thousands of these larvae share a single serving of nearly any kind of organic waste. Mwangi feeds the larvae on any fruit and vegetable waste sourced from the nearby market, helping reduce the amount of food waste making way into the landfill. Here is Kamau again on why feed the fish on black soldier fly.
The BSF, the flies, are rich in nutrients. Very rich nitrogen. And in most cases, the commercial feeds are deficient in such nutrients like nitrogen. So it's a sure bet when you use the black soldier flies to feed the catfish other than the commercial pellets. Mm. However, the BSF are not substituting the commercial feeds wholly. It's only that we are substituting. We are feeding them partially and such. So we are feeding them on both to ensure that whatever could be missing, that the proteins that could be missing in the commercial feed is given by the BSF.
The larvae are fed thrice during the 21 days, separating them into different containers to allow them space to grow. One requires wood pallets, crates, larvae seeds, waste materials, and an antidote to prevent safari ants invasion. Mwangi plans to feed his fish to enable them reach the required weight faster, but he adds that the larvae are in high demand in Kenya by animal feed growers. But are they too expensive to grow? Here is Mwangi on the cost.
Out of the 10 kilograms we bought as seeds, I have harvested 44 kilograms. I sold 32 kilograms and set aside 12 kilograms for the farm. I have divided the remaining and been feeding them. We are still harvesting another batch. I expect to harvest above 30 kilograms for this batch. The seeds sell at 5,000 shillings a kilogram. For the 1 kilogram, if a farmer manages to feed and grow the worms the right way, one can harvest 1,000 kilograms within 21 days. Currently, there is a shortage of animal feeds proteins. Often, the animal feeds producer relies on the Lake Victoria sardine or omena, which is processed and provided to the animals as proteins. Since humans consume omena, there is a low supply due to competition. Due to the high demand, anyone can venture into the business and find the market for worms while retaining their seeds. The challenge now for small-scale producers is producing and meeting the needs as some animal feeds factories are ready to buy from 1 ton.
As the global temperatures rise, the World Wide Fund for Nature, WWF, notes that about 1.3 billion tons of fruits, vegetables, meat, dairy, seafood, and grains go to waste. That is about one-third of all the food produced in the world. The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change says that this food waste produces gases like methane when left to rot in landfills. The 2019 Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report on climate change and land estimates that food waste costs between 8 and 10% of emissions between 2010 and 2016. With climate change expected to intensify water insecurity in Africa, Kamau says the wastewater generated from the fish ponds and changed after every 2 weeks is rich in minerals. The water is used to water a vegetable farm next to the greenhouse.
That water is very rich. It has got a lot of nutrients. And therefore, we normally do integrated farming. If you have got that kind of a system, even whether you are doing it outside, even without the greenhouse, we normally advise farmers do integrated farming, whereby allow the fish pot or the greenhouse, wherever the fish is being grown, you plant vegetables. If you planted the vegetables, you're supposed to water them from whichever the source. So we advise the farmers, instead of directly feeding the crops or the vegetables with the fresh water, they draw water from the fish pot, all right, water the vegetables, and the water they were supposed to use in the vegetables, that fresh water is put in the fish pot, such that there is a continuous process. You draw from the fish pot to the vegetables, or whichever the crops or the fruit vegetable or fruit trees, and then fresh water to the fish pot, so that the plants can benefit from the nutrients. And by doing so, you can achieve what we call the organic farming, because you are not using direct commercial or fertilizers.
Although infection rates have not been as high as in other regions, the economic consequences of the coronavirus pandemic in sub-Saharan Africa have been severe due to declining employment opportunities, livelihoods, and food security. Coupled with projected population growth, the demand for food, reducing land spaces for farming, would rearing lever and fish production be a venture the rising youth population can invest in? Kamau advises those who wish to start the business.
Well, it's a good farming and is a way to go. One, in Kenya, the amount of fish that is required to be consumed is not there, either from the capture fishery or the aquaculture part. That's why people are importing fish from China or elsewhere. So it's a good venture. But as they go to venture in that enterprise, they consult the expert, so that they go the right way. It's a good venture, but most of the farmers have also lost money in purporting to do the farming, because there are so many technologies that are there, especially what we call the RAS system, the circulatory system, which is a bit expensive for the farmers initially. So we have crooked people who are coming with those technologies. They mislead the farmers. They start the project. After the farmer have invested even 2-3 million, they run away without any input. So what I would advise is that if a farmer or any other entrepreneur would wish to start the business of fish farming or aquaculture, they consult the government agencies, because they are there at the national government level and the county government, especially at the county government, because the agriculture is a devolved function. People are there, employed by the county government, to assist farmers in doing that. So before they go to the private practitioners, they should go to the government officers to give them the right direction. Otherwise, with the right guidance and information, it's a perfect enterprise.
That is all we had for you today. Next week, join me again as we feature a firm producing eco-friendly biodiesels from waste vegetable oil collected from local hotels and restaurants. But before then, kindly visit our website www.africaclimateconversations.com to listen to more episodes. While there, please do not forget to subscribe or listen to us via Spotify, Google, Apple, or any other channel you access your podcast from. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead. Until next week on Tuesday, kwaheri. My name is Sophie Mbungwa.